grace, mercy, and peace of God are yours, a gift planned in eternity by the Father, a gift made reality by the Son in time, a gift made your own possession by the Spirit. To God alone the glory. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this evening is a single verse from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, Son of God and Son of Mary, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. There are times for me, and perhaps also for you, when the sights and sounds of the season become overwhelming. It isn't that the season itself is too much. It's that it's added to our already busy lives. We work from day to day, if not for an employer, then to keep our homes in order and clean. Then you add extra things like decorating, midweek Advent services, shopping for gifts, caroling, Christmas gatherings, visiting relatives, and the other things of the season. From time to time, we crave silence. At least I do. We need to take advantage of downtime. I wonder what Mary of Nazareth would think about our busy and stressful Christmas preparations. It had been a long 9 months for Mary of Nazareth. It all began when the angel Gabriel announced God's amazing plans for her and the rest of humankind. She visited her relatives, Zacharias and Elizabeth. She returned home and got married to Joseph. Now Mary and her husband traveled the 75 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, from the highlands to the lowlands. The journey would have been taxing enough in itself, but Mary was getting awfully close to her due date. The already tiny village of Bethlehem was packed with other descendants of David. There was no room for them in the inn. The only place that they could stay was a barn. Not exactly the first choice for a woman about to have her first child. No, the stresses for Mary of Nazareth were a bit different than those that we call the stresses of the season. She didn't worry a bit about purchasing gifts, or of decorating the barn, or of gathering with family. There was no cooking to be done. Perhaps her greatest concern was giving birth. And there was no stopping that. When her contractions grew strong and her water broke like countless women before her, she could only ride it out. There was no time out. She was probably alone with a little help from Joseph when she gave birth to her son. She wrapped him in strips of linen, swaddling like her mother had likely done for her. She laid her son in a makeshift cradle, an animal's feed box, a manger. And then for Mary, the fear and the pain were over. And the joy of having a newborn child took its place. And we imagine that it was quiet for Mary finally, save for the sounds of the animals in nearby stalls. It was probably quiet for the shepherds, too, sitting around a fire in the field outside Bethlehem. Just another night, like the one before, watching their sheep, keeping track of their needs, watching to see their ears prick up at a distant predator. Outside the ring of the firelight, it must have been dark. But suddenly, it wasn't dark any longer. For an angelic messenger of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And now it wasn't the sheep that were terrified. It was the shepherds. They were the ones needing calming. They were terrified because that's the natural reaction when sinful human beings are presented with holiness. The angel comforted them, and then, interestingly enough, lit a fire under them. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there wasn't just one angel, but rank upon rank of them. And together they praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." If you think about it, the shepherds were the first to really experience the true joy, the true and lasting excitement of the Christmas season. They took in the message of the angel, and they were driven by it into Bethlehem. When the fear of the angel departed, the joy that's often forgotten for us, I think, and hidden behind our busy lives, overcame them. They immediately went to Bethlehem. They found Mary and Joseph, and they found the newborn child right where the angel said that he would be, wrapped in strips of linen, lying in a manger. They didn't keep quiet about it, though. They told others what was told them concerning this child by the angel. How did people react to the message, to this amazing message? Well, the Gospel of Luke relates to us simply, all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. The word translated marveled expresses a wide range of reactions. It can mean to wonder. I'm sure some wondered about what the shepherd said. It can mean to be amazed. Doubtless some people were amazed too. It can mean to be astonished. Still others were just surprised to be talked to by a shepherd. And then many of them simply went on with their lives. After all, they didn't see any angels. The shepherds did. And they just told them about it. What did Mary say to the shepherds? What did she say if people stopped her in the streets of Bethlehem and asked if she was the one that had the newborn baby in the barn? What did Mary say? Nothing at all. At least nothing recorded in Scripture. If she said anything to the shepherds or anything to anyone else, it's not recorded by the Spirit of God. Mary was silent. But unlike Zacharias, whose silence was both a sign and a reminder for him of his shameful doubts, hers was the silence of meditation. So this Advent season, let's take a page out of Mary's book and spend some time meditating upon the birth of Jesus and what it means to us. But first, let's look at the Holy Spirit's description of that silence. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What you thinking? Penny for your thoughts. As much as we like to think from time to time we know what other people are thinking, especially those that we're married to, the fact of the matter is we really don't know what's going on in other people's heads unless they actually tell us. I know that's a shock to some of you. The only exception to that rule is when the Holy Spirit tells us in the Word of God what individual people were thinking at certain times. And this is one of those times. The Holy Spirit tells us that Mary of Nazareth did two things. She kept something and she pondered something. Well, what did she keep? What was the something she kept? She keep a photo album? She keep a memento, some straw from the manger? What Mary kept, she kept to herself in her mind. The basic word translated keep here is used a couple of ways in the New Testament. It's rather interesting. It's used of a guard keeping watch over a prisoner. The very word is used of the soldiers who sat beneath Jesus' cross and kept watch over him. It's also used of the Philippian jailer who kept watch over Paul and Silas. But it's also used of a person keeping track of something so as not to lose it. You know, like your passwords for the internet. Got to write those down or keep them someplace or you're going to forget for sure. What did she keep in mind so as to not forget? This is where it gets a little hazy because our English translation says that she kept all these things in her heart. Well, what things? Well, actually, she didn't keep things in mind at all. The word means words or sayings. She kept in mind, like the shepherds in the previous verse, all these sayings concerning her son. You know, some given by the angel Gabriel to her. Elizabeth's words filled with the Holy Spirit. The angel's word to the shepherds repeated to her. These are the words, the sayings that she kept in mind. She didn't want to forget. She kept them in the vault of her heart and then also took them out from time to time to look at them. Because it says that Mary also pondered these sayings in her heart. Like a treasure or a precious heirloom, she continually got those words back out again. And she looked carefully at them from every angle. She literally tossed them around in her heart. It wasn't just that Mary didn't want to forget these things. It was also that she wanted to fully understand them. And so she kept trying to remember them. And she kept pondering them in her heart. When I was first diagnosed with high blood pressure and was under some pressure, my medical doctor at the time told me that I needed to find some time to relax. He called it me time. I found that it helped me to relax to avoid my office one day a week. That was a good start. I also spent some time in the sauna. It helped. It still does. For some people today, the way to get rid of their stresses is through meditation. And in some forms of meditation, like, for example, transcendental meditation, the goal of meditation is to completely empty your mind out so there's nothing left in there. To think of nothing. Well, it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Except that the mind isn't meant to be empty. You ever try to empty your mind? Yeah, something always finds its way back in there to take up space. And a lot of times it's things like fear, anger, anxiety, unresolved issues with other people. There are many unwelcome squatters in our minds. What do we expect? We have sinful hearts and minds. But you see, Mary didn't empty her mind, did she? She kept something in there on the throne of her heart. The words that the angel had said concerning her son. And she kept coming back to it and considering those words again and again. And this Advent season, every Advent season, frankly, we need to take some time to do that very thing. We need to take time to chase away our fears and our concerns and return to the Word of God. We need to spend some time meditating upon what the Scriptures tell us, not in general, but what they tell us about Jesus, our Savior. And we need to take some time to turn those things over in our minds and think about what they mean to us as individuals. Let's not just be satisfied to wade in the kiddie pool of spiritual wisdom. Let's take a dive into the deep end now and then to better understand the depths of God's wisdom and love for us. You see, the thing is that we don't want to come to Christmas with some kind of detached wonderment as if the birth of Jesus is merely the birth of a child to an unknown girl 2,000 years ago in a place far away. Rather, after meditating upon the Word of God, we celebrate the birth of the one who loved you before time began and who died with your rescue on his mind. We likewise don't want to come to his death with a detached sorrow, as if the story of his passion is just, you know, another sad story about a man dying unnecessarily, another human being dead. But after meditating upon what the Word of God tells us, we celebrate that this Son of God and Son of Mary willingly laid down his life for you and for me on the cross. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's not good enough just to know general truths. Yes, it's true, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. But that doesn't do us any good unless we see ourselves as sinners. And unless we take a step further and believe that Jesus died for me. That's the ultimate spiritual goal of this kind of meditation. And it's reached only by the work of the Holy Spirit and by meditating upon the words of our God. Just like we prayed a minute ago in that second hymn. Precious Jesus, I beseech thee, may thy words take root in me. May this gift from heaven enrich me so that I bear fruit for thee. Take them never from my heart till I see thee as thou art, when in heavenly bliss and glory I shall greet thee and adore thee. Amen.